And now a topical report from The Guardian. Elon Musk thinks you don't exist, but it's nothing personal. He thinks he doesn't exist either, at least not in the normal sense of existing. Instead, we are just immaterial software constructs running on a gigantic alien computer simulation. Musk has stated that the odds are billions to one that we are actually living in base reality, i.e. the physical universe. At the end of last year, he responded to a tweet about the anniversary of the crude tennis video game Pong by writing, 49 years later, games are photorealistic 3D worlds. What does that trend continuing imply about our reality? This idea is surprisingly popular among philosophers and even some scientists. Its modern version is based on a seminal 2003 paper, Are We Living in a Computer Simulation? By the Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom. Assume, he says, that in the far future, civilizations hugely more technically advanced than ours will be interested in running ancestor simulations of the sentient beings in their distant galactic past. If so, there will one day be many more simulated minds than real minds. Therefore, you should be very surprised if you are actually one of the few real minds in existence, rather than one of the trillions of simulated minds. This idea has a long history in philosophical skepticism, the idea that we can't know anything for sure about the external world, and other traditions. The Chinese Taoist sage Zhuangzi wrote a celebrated fable about a man who couldn't be sure whether he was a man dreaming of being a butterfly or a butterfly dreaming of being a man. René Descartes imagined that he might be being manipulated by an evil demon or evil genius that controlled all the sensations he experienced, while the 20th century American philosopher Hilary Putnam coined the term brain in a vat to describe a similar idea. But while Neo in the Wachowskis' 1999 film The Matrix really is a brain, or rather a whole depilated body in a vat, the simulation hypothesis says that you do not have a physical body anywhere. You are merely the result of mathematical calculations in some vast computer. There are many possible objections to this idea even getting off the ground, as Bostrom notes. Perhaps it is simply not possible for computer-simulated beings to become conscious in the way we are. This would defeat the assumption of substrate independence, according to which minds are not dependent on biological matter. Or perhaps all civilizations destroy themselves before getting to the simulation stage. Plausible, if not necessarily comforting. Or perhaps advanced civilizations are simply not interested in running such simulations, which would be surprising given the kinds of things humans do, such as developing video deepfake technology or researching how to make viruses more virulent, even though they seem to be very bad ideas. The simulation hypothesis is perhaps attractive to a wider culture because of its nature as a cosmic scale conspiracy theory, as well as an apparently scientific version of creationism. The inconceivably advanced alien running its simulation of our universe is indistinguishable from traditional terrestrial ideas of God, an all-powerful being who designed everything we see. But is this God the God of deism, who sets up the laws of nature but then absents himself while creation runs its course, or a more interventionist figure? If the latter, it might make sense to court their favour. How, though, should we please such a God? Not necessarily by being virtuous, but by being, assuming the simulator is watching us for its own pleasure, at least entertaining. This line of reasoning might imply, for example, that it is one's duty to become a florid serial killer, or a guy who tries to colonize Mars and buy Twitter. Be funny, outrageous, violent, sexy, strange, pathetic, heroic, in a word, dramatic. counsels the economist Robin Hanson, considering that assumption in his 2001 paper, How to Live in a Simulation. If you might be living in a simulation, then all else equal, it seems that you should care less about others, he concludes, and live more for today. One commonly despairing reaction to the idea that we might all be simulated is that this renders our lives meaningless, and that nothing we see or experience is real. The Australian philosopher David Chalmers, in his recent book Reality Plus, Virtual Worlds and the Problems of Philosophy, argues otherwise. For him, a digital table in VR is a real table. It is no more disqualified from being real by the fact that it is at bottom made up of digital ones and zeros than a physical table is disqualified from being real by the fact that it is at bottom made up of quantum wave packets. Indeed, some esoteric theories of physics consider reality itself to be at base quantum, computational, or mathematical in nature anyway. Is there any good reason to actually believe the simulation argument, though? Or is it just aesthetically piquant techno-religion? Chalmers observes that it is at least more plausible than earlier iterations of skepticism, such as Descartes' evil demon, simply because we now have functioning prototypes, video games, VR, of how such a simulation might work. Others have speculated that there may be clues to the fact that our universe is a simulation hidden in the very fabric of the reality that we can investigate. Perhaps the simulation cuts corners at very small scales or very high energies. Indeed, experiments have been seriously proposed that might reveal the answer. But not so fast. Remember that we can't know what the goal of the simulators is. Perhaps for them, the game is not merely to observe us as an indefinite planet-sized soap opera, but simply to see how long the sim people take to prove that they're in a simulation. At which point, the game ends and the simulation is turned off. Perhaps we're better off not finding out.